He is precious. Amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter number 7. God told Jeremiah in this passage of Scripture to go to the temple and to preach a message at the gate of the temple. We'll read here in just a second. And the Lord told him to do that so that all of Judah would be able to hear the message. Probably, seeing how the Lord wanted all of Judah to hear it, probably priests at the temple during one of the times of their festivals, either the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, but obviously everyone would be gathered there. And they would hear a message that would not earn Jeremiah love. They would hear a message that would not make him popular. Matter of fact, they would hate him. The result of this message would leave bitterness in the king's heart. People would be upset at him and would eventually persecute him and throw him in a cistern to die had someone not rescued him. This message would stir up the people. It would offend some. Many would get angry at him. Some would hate him. Some would curse him. But it's what God wanted the people to hear. And this morning, we're going to preach the same message that Jeremiah preached. It was written for our learning, the Bible says. And in the Bible, this message was preached, Jeremiah did, about 600 B.C., but it's a little over 2,600 years old, but we have the same issues today. And let's read it in Jeremiah chapter 7, and verse number 1. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger and fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? Come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just please help us. We look at this message that your prophet gave thousands of years ago. Lord, how applicable it is to us today. Pray that, Lord, you just please open our ears and our eyes and our heart to what the Holy Spirit would have for us this morning. I just yield myself to you, and I just humbly ask you, Lord, just to help us today. Use me whatever way you can. Lord, I just remove me or push me aside. Just lift up your Son this morning, please. Lift up your word. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In this sermon that we just heard, the problem was there in verse number 3. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." The problem was this, that Israel at this time, God was calling them to amend their ways and their doings. They weren't living right. Sin had become acceptable. Sin had become life. Sin had become just what they do. They were going on in their own ways, indulging in their own sins. Those very sins are named out in verse number 9. They were stealing, they were murdering, they were committing adultery, they were swearing falsely, they were burning incense unto Baal and walking after other gods. They were just continuing on in their own sin, their own thieveries and hatred of others and murdering and sexual sins and lying and swearing and following other gods. And they just continued going, and it was just part of life. But the problem was that they were doing all these things while believing in what is referred to several times in this passage, and I would assume this is what Jeremiah would have titled his message that day, was lying words. And he said it over and over again that they're believing in lying words. In verse number 4, trust ye not in lying words. It says in verse number 8, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Now, what were these lying words? What was it that they were believing, these false statements that was leading them to this life of sin? And the lying words, it says there, verse number 3, again, it says, amend your ways and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Verse number 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. That was their lying words. The temple of the Lord. Those are these, he said. These are the lying words. Now, what was Jeremiah, and obviously what was the Lord saying there? Simply put, alright, it's this. They were going on in their life, they were going on in their sin, they were going on living how they wanted to, they were going on with their being a thief and lying and swearing and sexual sins and following other gods, and the whole time they were saying this, it's okay! I go to church. I go to church. Well, then, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. God says, you need to amend your ways. You're involved in sin. You're letting sin into your life. These things are affecting you and your family. I go to the temple. That's what it is. Temple of the Lord. Jeremiah would get up and say, hey, listen, you need to repent. And they said, temple of the Lord. We're here. And God chose the gates of that temple to preach this message. As everybody was walking in, the message was this. This is doing you no good. That was the sermon. And today, 2024, people all over this country are living in filth, they're living in immorality, they're living in sin, they're lying, they're stealing, they're cheating, they're involved in pornography, they're gossipers, they drink, they do all these things, but I go to church on Sunday. It's okay. I go to church. Well, yeah, but this week you sit there in front of a screen and watch filth. I go to church. Yeah, but you're a thief. Well, I go to church. Yeah, but you've been watching pornography 4 times this week. Yeah, but I go to church. But you got drunk on Saturday. I go to church. That's what he's preaching on. And people living in this country, they go out, they cuss every other breath, they drink a pint, they go on and they just live in filth. But they went to that church on Sunday morning for 45 minutes and I'm good. That's what his sermon is. Well, hey preacher, I go to Kazato Baptist Temple. I love our church. I thank God for our church. Church is so important. Local church, I believe in it. I believe we ought to be here every time the doors are open. I believe in the church. It is for the perfecting of the saints so that we can grow, and we need to fellowship with each other, and we need to do these things, and we need church. So don't take me wrong what I'm about to say. Preacher, I go to Kazadale. But if you're doing all this other stuff, who cares? It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't, you know. I know I looked at all this filth. I know I listened to all this junk. I know I'm just dressing however I want to dress, and I know what God's Word says, but I like going around half naked this summer. But I go to church on Sunday. In the words of Jeremiah, those are lying words. You're lying to yourself. You're not okay. Now you know why they got offended at Jeremiah, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, right? That's why they all sit there and go, who is that guy? few more chapters over, they're beating him. A few more chapters over, they threw him in a cistern full of sewage and were letting him drown in sewage. That's what he gets. How dare he get up and say there's a lying? We go to the temple! Jeremiah said, you're still a thief. Still a pervert. Well, I go to church. No. I love church. You ought to be in God's house. Absolutely. But this isn't a pass on sin. You can't just live how you want to all week and say, but I go to church. That's not how that book works. Amen. But we want to feel better about ourselves because we go to church. And again, you know, it is absolutely more of a problem out there in a society that, and I get it, all right, that goes to their, you know, dove, cross the road, cross the creek, whatever church they want to call it, all right? You know, I get that, all right? And that they, you know, they go out and have a drink together and do all this stuff and say, but we go to church on Sunday, man. We all went there. We watched the rock concert and we all went out and got a drink together. But hey, I went to church. And we sit there and as independent Baptists, we're like, that is wickedness, man. And it is. But no more wicked than lying, stealing, cheating, cussing, watching, cursing, watching all the filth, and sitting in God's house and saying, but I go to Cathedral. It's not an easy message, is it, right? I mean, that's what Jeremiah, I'm sure, my flesh, because I know Jeremiah, he had bouts of depression over a lot of this stuff. I kind of get probably after the result of this message where I said, I just can't preach anymore. It is too much. And after a while, he's just like, okay, I got to preach again. It just burned in his heart. He had to do it. I'm sure when God gave him that message, he's probably pinning these things. All right, thus saith the Lord. At the temple gates, seriously, Lord? Right? You want me to stand where and preach this? While everybody's there? But Jeremiah said, yes, Lord. And all these people are walking in. He gets up there, the prophet of God. Thus saith the Lord, all you Judah, if you don't amend your ways, if you don't change your life, you're going to lose all this. But if you'll amend your ways, if you'll change your direction, God will keep you in this place. But if you don't, God's going to remove it all. And the people probably looked at him, and that's when he said, and this is my imagining, you're believing in lying words. They all stop and look at him. Lying words? The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are your lying words. You walk in this place to worship God, but you leave to live in your own flesh, to live in your own sensuality, to live in your own lust. But you walk in this place and say, but I'm in the temple of the Lord. Amend your ways. God's going to take it all away. I give you a little history. They didn't amend their ways. And they lost everything. They lost everything. That temple where Jeremiah was preaching was torn down brick by brick until it was left in rubble. That cornerstone, whatever it was, that step that he was standing on preaching, was broke up. Anything valuable taken out of there. The cities were left desolate. Blood ran through the streets. Families were separated. Kids were killed. Kids were drug off as slaves. Dads lay dead on the street. Just years. And I'm not talking hundreds. Just a few years. after he preached this message. But God reached out to him. Said, amend your ways. Change. Because if you change, this does not have to happen. So many people live their life ignoring the Word of God, ignoring the ways of God, the laws of God, the commands of God, preacher, the lessons from God's Word. We all just want to do what we want to do, and we think everything's going to be fine because we go to church. That's a joke. Those are lying words. Can't sit in front of an ungodly screen on Saturday and expect everything to be okay because you go to church Sunday morning. Yeah, I'm fine. No, you're not. You say, I'm really fine. Yet so is Israel walking in the temple that day. But they didn't heed the message from God. And everything's fine until one day you wake up and you've lost everything that's precious to you. Until one day you wake up and that family's not there. Until you wake up one day and you find yourself in some other person's house and home. Until you wake up one day and you find yourself in some jail cell. Until you wake up one day and find yourself out of church, heartbroken. Say, you're mean. I'm not mean. I'm just telling you that if you want the blessings of God, and they're real, if we want a Cazado Baptist temple to be here 30, can't live a life that says, I'll live my way because it's okay because I go to church on Sunday morning. It'll all be gone. It'll all be gone. It will not last. Cannot go on and watch our filth, speak foul language, never pick up a Bible during the week, rob God in our tithes and offerings, dress totally immodest, gossip and slander, listen to filth, watch the filth, lie, cheat, steal, hate, and then say, but I go to church, Cazado, oh, okay. No, it's not. Jeremiah, this probably wasn't his voice message that he wanted to preach because it wouldn't have been easier. It would have been a lot easier to get up that day and say, boy, let me tell you what these sacrifices represent. That would have been an easy sermon that day as everybody's walking in and talk about the blood and the lamb, and people would have thought, yeah, that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And praise the Lord for the blood and the lamb. We talked about it last week. But every once in a while, we also need a Jeremiah message that says, thus saith the Lord. These are lying words if you say, well, I go to church. Lying words. Well, everything's okay. I'm a member at fill in the blank Baptist church. No. My family will be okay. We go to church on Sunday. But if you live this way. Isn't it ironic that when things begin to fall apart, one of the first things people blame is always church that they only went to at the bare minimum, and they never picked up a Bible, and they lived opposite the rest of the week, and they enjoyed all that's in the world, all the ungodliness, watched their filth, dressed how they wanted to, and listened to all their junk stuff. Then they get mad at church because my son didn't turn out right. Doesn't work that way. Those are lying words. But the temple of the Lord, lying words. But I go to Cazado, lying words. I go to First Baptist. If we're going to choose not to amend our ways, my grandpa would say, we're spinning our wheel. We're getting nowhere. But, as with God and every message he always gives, there's hope.
That's the difference between, you know, how can I tell if God's speaking to me or it's the devil? God always gives hope. The devil always leaves hopeless. Everybody the Lord ever talked to in the New Testament and witnessed to, he'd always show them their sin. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. But he gave her hope. The Samaritan woman had been living an immoral life. And God showed her sin. But then he said, but let me tell you how you can get a drink and you'll never thirst again. Nicodemus was trapped in his hopeless religion. And the Lord said, but listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. God always gives hope. And thus in this message, because it was from the Lord, he gives hope. I want you to see a couple things real quick. Simple message. Jeremiah's, if you don't like the points, you can talk to Jeremiah about it one day, all right? First of all, in verse number 5, here's his message. Here's hope. Here's the answer. Here's what we have to do. We can't believe in our lying words. Why go to the temple? Those are lying words. Here's where hope is. Verse number 5, for if you truly amend your ways and your doing. Number 1, be holy. Repent. Quit sinning. Quit sinning. Amend your ways. You say, that's really it? Yeah, that's really it. Quit. Do right. You know what's right. Quit being sympathetic to sin. Quit patting it on the back. Quit rationalizing it. And again, I'm not pointing a finger at like, this is what we need to do. Amen? We need this. And when a strong stand is taken against sin, stand with that person. Been things in the last few years. People have said, well, Pastor, I think you're being a little too strict on that. No stand is ever taken because Jeremiah didn't get up because he's going to earn bonus points. He took the stand he did because he knew that's what God heard him to do. Especially pastors, he gets weary watching Christians ruin their lives and their families and their children and their ministries because they don't want them in their ways. And they just want to continue on in what they want to do. See, but you got to loosen up a little bit. Have you ever played a game of tug of war? At camp, we do it every year. The kids are... Every year we do the adults versus the campers. Every year we start pulling. Every year we all let go of the rope, the counselors. And every year the kids fall over. Every year. They'll do it again this year, right? I just said it out loud. And they'll do it again, right? But you know what happens? I mean, even if you're holding on and you just kind of let go and grab it again, you're done. You're done. The world, the enemy, the devil is constantly trying to pull you away. They're constantly trying to get you out of church. Constantly trying to destroy your holiness. Constantly trying to pull you away from those who love you and those who are right. Constantly trying. And you start letting go, you end up on your face. Because the enemy's not going to quit. He will never quit. Why do we take such a strong stand? Tell you why. For your kids. For your grandkids. For you. Why can't we just compromise and let some things go? Because there's no stopping. And once you start letting go, it will take you farther than you ever thought. It's just a little thing. Come on, preacher. That's just a little modesty. Okay, you have a difference of opinion and modesty. understand. You start feeding your flesh, it doesn't stop at that little difference. It then goes on to more selfishness, more self-indulgence, less spirituality, and more carnality, and pretty soon, your family's gone. All we ever see is everybody coming to church and going back, and we think, everybody's all so good. Been in my office a week. Sit in my office a week. Any week you want. Put one out of high school person sit in my office this week and say, I need help. Right, take their own life. There are ungodly people out there. Member of an independent Baptist church. We started letting things go. We all just drive by and wave and think, life is so good. Stay in my office a week. I'm not doing a pity party. I'm just telling you this. We don't get up and broadcast everybody's faults.
Let me tell you what Rob Webster did this week, right?
We don't do that. Which he did nothing bad this week, but made me a cake, so he's in good standing. Right?
Yeah, right?
No, we don't get up. But I'm telling you, sin is killing people. It's destroying them. God said, amend your ways. Stop it. Change. Amend your life. Repent of your sin. We just want to go on and do what we want to do and live in our sin and skip services and make a ball game more important than God's house and live ungodly. But we say, I'm good. I go to church. Those are lying words. They're lying words. He first cries out and says, be holy. Repent. We let our kids get inundated in this culture. Sodomy is pushed everywhere and the transgender and all this fornication. And we think, well, my kids are going to be okay. They go to church on Sunday morning. We'll put them in the council of the ungodly and let them sit under teachers and principals and lessons and all their peers that's promoting this ungodly society. But my kids will be okay. We let them sit in front of a screen and watch whatever they want to do. We let them surf the internet. We let them watch every YouTube video ever created and we never have any checks or accountability on it. My kids will be okay. They sit in the youth group on Sunday morning. Those are lying words. They're lying words. Be holy. Repent. The second thing he asked for in verse number 5 is this. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, I wrote down these two words. Be honest and respect others. Be honest and respect others. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, I don't think I need to preach and prove anything that our justice system has become quite corrupt. And back in these days, when he was preaching, it was very corrupt. Everything was all based upon bribes, money, not much different than what we are today. And Jeremiah just said something very simple. He just said, we all need to stop and be honest and treat people right. I'm expecting some really deep doctrinal stuff. I'm just giving you the points that the Lord gave. These things would change our lives. Grace and mercy. Aren't those two great words? Aren't you thankful for God's grace and mercy? And then God tells you, show that same grace and mercy to us. Compassion and love. Isn't that great? Those are two good words, aren't they? Aren't you thankful for God's compassion and love in your life? Show it to others. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord. Be honest. Respect others. In other words, be honest. Pay your bills. Pay your bills. You're in debt. Pay it back. Well, I go to Kazado. Who cares? That's doing you no good if you're a thief. Amen. Pay your taxes. I have had mine done this Saturday. My tax guy's been so busy. The only date, because I'm going to Scotland, he could do it was Saturday night after couples are killed. That's a good taxes done. After couples are killed. It'll be a rough day. You're going to have a bill? I have a huge. Every time we do our tax. Are you going to try to get out of it? No, I'm going to write down everything as accurately as I possibly need. Well, I can get up here and be a member of this church and preach, but if I'm a liar and a cheat, who cares? Amen? Be honest. You say you're going to do something, do it. Treat people with respect. Treat people kindly. There should be no prejudices amongst God's people. Amen. Treat people right. Be kind. Be kind. I mean, I've met Christians, they're like, not recently, and I'm thankful for that, but there are some members here that are like proud of the way they mistreated waiters and waitresses. I do my best. Make sure I point out every flaw. There's a word for that. Ungodly. I'll give you another word. You're a jerk. And it's blasphemous to God. But being so critical over everything. You say, well, that's my spiritual gift. No, it's not. That's carnality. All it is pride because you're lifting yourself up. I know, I'm not earning a lot of favors, but that's Jeremiah's message is pretty good. Treat people right. Show them compassion. Be honest and respect. Holy and repent. Verse number 6. If ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. I write down these words. Heal. And reach out. A stranger is someone who's foreign to you. Don't know him. Fatherless, someone who needs help and protection. The widow, someone who's struggling. And in those days, fatherless and widow was almost a death sentence in those days. I know we live in a different society today, but in those days, if you're a Jew in those days and a Gentile walks in and he's starving to death, he dies. They didn't share their food with him. He's a Gentile. He's a dog. If some fatherless orphan came in, not my problem. They would die in the streets. A widow back in those days who had no husband to care for her or take care of her, she would beg the rest of her life and live in misery. And back in those days, to those Jews, Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, help them. Reach out to them. Quit walking in your church, in your nice car, in your nice suit, and living your best life with your two extra cars and your boat and your golf clubs and going on with life, but you never have compassion on people that are hurting. You never think twice about trying to reach a soul. You live such a selfish life, you're blinded to anybody else's needs. But I go to church. Lying words. It's helping a nun. Invest in other people. Lift them up. Love them. Lend to them. But I want, that's not Christ-like. To be Christ-like is to be as living waters, a spring of living waters flowing and reaching as many as we can. I go to CBT, lying words, if we're not helping and reaching out to people. The fourth thing I wrote is this: help and revive. Verse number 6 says, and shed not innocent blood in this place. Shed not innocent blood. They were killing people. You say, really? Killing? Yeah. Apparently. But they were destroying. They were doing whatever. Anything stood in their way, they'd push them away. And you're and I's job, and I know I understand this, but this is what God expects in us. To have compassion, instead of destroying people, helping them. I'll give you one quick way. Some voting coming up pretty soon. No child of God should ever vote to kill babies. Well, I know I did, but I go to Kazadel. Lying word. You say, well, no one's killing anybody. Well, don't go home. Look at these verses. We'll come right back. Look in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah talked a lot about this. In Jeremiah, this innocent blood. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse number 30, Jeremiah 2:30, this thought of innocent blood, it says, in vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. So I'm not killing anybody. Well, Jeremiah said, you're killing the preacher. That's what he said. If you leave today and be like, well, listen, kids, we don't agree with what all preachers saying. I know he's just a little radical on some things, and you don't have to listen to everything that he says. Goodbye, kids. Goodbye, kids. So I really don't agree with things that you say. Then you need to find a church where you do. What? Because you're going to destroy your family. I don't want anybody to leave. Better choice to say, why does he take that stand? And study it. Because I promise you, any stand that our church takes, I believe it's biblically based. I wouldn't take it. It wasn't biblically based. There's enough stuff. Why would I want to cause more problems if I don't have scripture for it? Why would I want that? Amen? I mean, I got to deal with enough stuff. Why would I make up stuff? Everyone needs to wear a white shirt. I don't have one on. All right, white dress shirts, guys. Rest your heathens. There's no Bible for that. I'll never say something foolish like that, all right? But when I say you shouldn't put no wicked thing before your eyes, I got reason to say that. When I say our dress ought to be holy, I got reason to say that. It's called Bible. So don't go home and destroy the preacher. Matter of fact, chapter number 2, look at verse number 34. Also, in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these souls of the poor innocents. They were not just destroying the preacher, they were destroying the sinners that they deemed not like them. In chapter number 20, you don't have to turn there. Chapter, you see it, 22, verse 17. There were anyone that stood in their way, they were slain. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 6. I'll read to you real quick. Psalm 106, verse 38. Listen to this verse real quick. Psalm 106, verse 38. A good verse to read. Psalm 106, verse number 38 says, "And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan." And the lamb was polluted with blood. They were killing their own kids. Now, they weren't taken. Again, some were taken to Molech, and they were definitely doing that. But listen, you sacrifice Ready? You sacrifice your kids to the idols of Canaan today? What is the idols of Canaan? You leave sports become more important than God? Entertainment becomes more important than God? The world and the filth of the world becomes more important? You're shedding innocent blood. You're throwing your kids to it. Oh, it's going to be okay. I take them to Sunday school. Lying word. Help and revive. I'll close. Verse number 6 again in chapter number 7. Last thing I wrote down is this. Honor and respect the Lord. Verse number 6. Neither walk after other gods to your hurt. If God's not first in everything, that in all things He might have the preeminence, if we're not exalting Him and putting Him above everything else, and if our life is so out of whack because we're putting other things in front of God and we're not honoring and respecting the Lord, you'll lose it. And I'm not saying, is that how? You'll lose all these blessings. You'll lose all the securities that God wants to give you. You see, all this message wasn't just about the temple. They lost their homes. They lost their families. They lost their lives. They lost their kids. They lost their friends. They lost their opportunity to run to the Lord of the house of God. They lost everything. They wouldn't have been their ways. And they continued to follow after other gods. But if we do these things, verse 7, if these things are done, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Israel, if you'll just do these things and change your ways, nothing I said today, really hard. God didn't ask us to go climb 7 mountains on our knees, and then we can have His blessings. God didn't tell us to go get on our face and crawl up steps and pray a repeated prayer 900 times to earn His blessings. To be holy. Repent. Be honest and respect others. Heal people and reach out to those who are hurting. Help people and bring life to them, not destroy them. And honor and respect the Lord above all. And then, all these things. And the people looked at Jeremiah and said, that is first coming. Whatever. Walked in the temple and they made their sacrifice. And they dropped in their offering. And they had an animal sacrificed and the blood poured out in their name. And then they walked out, rolled their eyes at Jeremiah, and continued to steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods. And in less than 20 years, everything was gone. Pretty powerful message. Father, Lord, I pray You take this invitation. I thank You, Lord, for Jeremiah's message. I pray that You'd help us not to